Welcome back to the Solid Monster Sounds Off. This is your Monday Night Raw review. It was the post-SummerSlam edition of Monday Night Raw. And in this, my fourth stream in the last four nights, I couldn't let tonight go by without talking about this show. Because there was a lot of buzz about this show all day long. A lot of people talking about how this could be a very newsworthy episode of Raw. This was the first official Monday Night Raw under the Triple H era. You know, last week was still sort of a remnant of the Vince McMahon era. It was largely a show that was already written by Vince McMahon last week in Madison Square Garden. Tonight, post-SummerSlam pay-per-view in the rearview mirror, tonight was a brand new start, a fresh start for the Monday Night Raw brand. And when I say the first night of the Triple H era, it was pretty obvious if you watched this show tonight, just judging by some of the faces that you saw, faces that were pushed on the show tonight. We, of course, saw Bayley, Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, the new heel faction on the women's side. They just made their debut together as a unit at SummerSlam. Tonight was their first night on Monday Night Raw. And we got our in-ring debut for Io Shirai. She finally, after all these years of being stuck on the NXT brand, way longer than she ever needed to be, she got to make her in-ring debut here on the main roster against the Raw Women's Champion. It wasn't for the title, but we did get our first main roster battle tonight between Io Shirai and Bianca Belair. But there was another face as well who was all over this show tonight. And when I think of Triple H, I think of this image. This right here is the photo that I think of. This was the final match for Tommaso Ciampa in NXT. He was very emotional. He knew that his time in the black and gold had come and gone, and he had shared this emotional moment on screen with Triple H because Ciampa was a Triple H guy for so many years. Triple H signed him. Plus, I mean, they look alike. I mean, look at these two. He looks like Triple H's son. Bald head, rat's nest on the face. I'm sure Triple H feels like he has some kind of bond with this guy just when he looks in the mirror every day. But there's a personal connection between these two. Triple H is a big fan of Tommaso Ciampa. And the whole situation playing out the way that it did with Vince McMahon and Triple H sliding into the seat and taking over when he did could not have come at a better time for that man. Tommaso Ciampa, who up to this point, we haven't really seen him do much here on TV. SummerSlam last night, but SummerSlam on Saturday, he was standing in the corner of The Miz when he wrestled Logan Paul. He did not have a match of his own. Tonight, Tommaso Ciampa wrestled in two matches, and Tommaso Ciampa had his hand raised at the end of the night. He will be challenging Bobby Lashley next Monday for the United States Championship. That's right. It's the son that Triple H never knew that he had. That's right. So it was very obvious. You pay attention to this show and who was pushed and who was prominently featured, that this is really the beginnings of the Triple H era. Honestly, coming into this show tonight, this had the feel of the Raw after WrestleMania, more so than the Raw after WrestleMania did this year. I don't remember anything that happened on the Raw after WrestleMania, other than I think the Bloodline was in the final segment, cut a promo, and said, watch SmackDown on Friday. I couldn't tell you a single other thing that happened on the Raw after Mania. The Raw after Mania hysteria, we haven't had that now in many years. And tonight, coming into this show, it kind of had that vibe to it. It was the post-SummerSlam Raw, but it felt more like a Raw after Mania type show. And we did get some new faces, although nobody knew. They didn't promote anybody new, you know, as a surprise or anything like that. So I do think that if you were coming into this show tonight expecting a big debut or a big return or some kind of a major angle, you may have been let down coming out of the show because we didn't get any of that. But this was a show that it did feel like it was the beginning of a new regime taking over from the old guard and putting out their ideas and putting forth, you know, the people that they want to see featured going forward, putting their imprint on the show tonight. It definitely felt that way. I thought the pacing of the show also was improved. We had a commercial-free first hour tonight. Because USA was so happy about the new direction of Monday Night Raw, they said, hey, if you want to go commercial-free for the first 60 minutes, be my guest. Now, when they do that, of course, we end up getting slammed with commercials in the last 2 hours. That's the downside to it. But we did have a commercial-free first hour tonight, which was helpful. The one thing that wasn't helpful on the show tonight, in all honesty, they were down in Texas. They were down in Texas, and they claimed that they were in Houston. Now, I'm not so sure about this. I'm not convinced that they were in Houston tonight. It felt more to me like they were in Corpus Christi. This crowd was dead for the vast majority of the show tonight. It was like a fucking funeral watching this show. And it's not because they had a small crowd or they were in a small building. They've actually been selling very well recently in recent weeks. And tonight was no different. They sold over 10,000 tickets to the building tonight. 10,000 people in the building, and you would never know. It sounded like less than half that. So the crowd was really the big come down for the show tonight. I don't know. These people were comatose for most of these 3 hours. And look, it is still a very long show. Triple H cannot snap his fingers like Thanos and make 3 hours go away. He doesn't have that power. So it's still a three-hour show that should not be 3 hours. So the show, the longer it goes, it does still feel long. Production-wise, the show did not look any different. It did not feel any different. We had the same fucking camera cuts, which at one point, there was a big brawl at one point with the women, and it was so nauseating that I looked away for a few seconds. That is still there. The show is not radically different in that respect from the show that you saw a week ago or 2 weeks ago. But if you came away from the show tonight, I think you definitely noticed that the pacing of the show felt different. There was more of a focus and an emphasis on the in-ring product. There were longer matches on this show, and new faces were being highlighted. But maybe the most important thing to mention here for the second week in a row, no 24/7 garbage. 2 weeks in a row, no 24/7 championship, no stupid skit in the back, no 24/7 brigade running out in the middle of a match, running into the crowd like a bunch of morons. Triple H already putting his stamp on these shows. 2 weeks in a row, no 24/7. Let's keep it going. Now, there was a report earlier today, and I first noticed it on the website wrestling.co, and they have broken stories before, about Sasha Banks and Naomi. And WWE was playing, they were playing into it too. They put out a tweet earlier that mentioned certain words that are associated with Sasha and Naomi, and, you know, they were piggybacking off the rumors that they have reached an agreement, supposedly, to return to WWE. Now, that doesn't mean that something has been signed. That doesn't mean that it's a done deal. It just means that, according to the report, Sasha and Naomi have agreed to come back to WWE. And that's all we know. We don't know if it's official. We don't know when they might come back. There were a lot of people expecting them that they might possibly show up here tonight on this show. That did not happen. I thought that we were going to get them after the opening segment, the way things were left with the ladies and Bianca Belair needed some help. I thought, well, I could think of two people who they could slide right in there to help her out. And it ended up being Asuka and Alexa Bliss instead. So we'll have to take a wait and see approach on the whole Sasha and Naomi situation. But it does sound like very likely that they are probably going to end up staying with WWE. And that probably has a lot to do with the fact that Triple H is now in charge. You know, Vince McMahon is gone. Whatever issues they may have had with Vince McMahon, he's out of the picture now. I mean, we've been hearing this for days now. The WWE was making overtures to them to try to convince them to stay, to try to make amends and mend fences and try to keep them with the company. Triple H has mended fences with much bigger figures who had much bigger problems with this company in the past. Bruno Sammartino, the Ultimate Warrior. So he has done this before. And if they have had issues with the company, Triple H obviously is the one who was pushing Sasha Banks hard back in NXT many years ago. I'm sure the last thing he wants to see is her leaving the company and going somewhere else and wrestling for somebody else. So I can absolutely believe that he would want to make sure that this deal gets done. So I do think that Sasha and Naomi are probably going to stay right where they are. But they were not on the show today. This is your Monday Night Raw review for August 1st. Oh, shit, it's the August 1st warning. I forgot. This is the anniversary. Tito Ortiz in Impact, one of the worst debuts in wrestling history. August 1st warning. What year was that? I feel like it was 10 years ago at this point. It was a long time ago, but it is August 1st, 2022. I am the Solemn Monster. I would ask you all to do me this favor. Smash that like button here on this video. Do that first. Super chats are open. I will be reading all of your super chats as they come in. What did you think of this first Raw under Triple H? What did you think of my... I'm very anxious. I have not checked the results of the Twitter poll. I put a poll up on Twitter at the end of the show tonight. We'll take a look at it when the review is over. And I'm very curious what the results of this poll are. Because typically the WWE show SmackDown lately has been largely shit. And the results, you know, pretty much reflect that. I haven't put a Raw poll up in a while because I usually don't go live after Raw. So we'll see. We'll see what the numbers look like a little bit later on. Channel memberships are open. I want to give a shout out to the Dada and Boys podcast, Antonio, and the Carlosis. And I want to say welcome to the VIP lounge. As the newest Sound Off superstars, I'm going to be posting a thread up tomorrow. Quick alert here. If you are a channel member or you would like to become one, under the community tab tomorrow, I will put a post up, a thread, for our next members-only Q&A video. We haven't done one in a while. You can submit one question per person. I'll gather them all up, and in a few days, I'll record the next Q&A video answering as many of your questions as I can. That'll be members-only. That'll be going up tomorrow, so thank you to all of our new channel members. So, I mentioned that it's been a very busy weekend. I was live after Dynamite last Wednesday, took a break on Thursday, and then we were live here on Friday night for SummerSlam predictions and SmackDown. SummerSlam on Saturday. Last night was Ric Flair's final match, and it was a very sad display. Very scary at times to watch him in the ring. I wasn't even aware as I was watching the match that he passed out at one point during the match, which would explain why when it was over, he said that he couldn't remember most of the match. So it was a very scary thing that I hope to never, ever see again, but he did survive. He is still among the living. He made it through. So that was a very interesting review last night. And so back tonight here for Monday Night Raw. As I said, the first hour of this show tonight was commercial free. And they padded it with some video packages throughout the first hour. So Becky Lynch was out first with her arm in a sling. And I said on the SummerSlam review the other night, I said something didn't look right. There was a move early on in the match with Bianca Belair where she was kind of face planted down into the mat. And it looked like she landed on her shoulder. And she was favoring her shoulder for the rest of the night. Wincing in pain. Was it just selling? Was she hurt? She looked hurt. And it looked like maybe a dislocated or a separated shoulder. The diagnosis is it was a separated shoulder. So Becky came to the ring. Her arm was in a sling. She talked about hitting rock bottom in the past. And not knowing who she was without the women's championship. Remember all those promos that she was cutting? Oh, my pretty, right? She was obsessed with being the Raw Women's Champion. She said at SummerSlam, though, she finally remembered who the hell she was. She says it wasn't in fancy clothes and it wasn't in constant need for validation. It's in owning every mistake that she has ever made and in the pursuit of being better today than she was yesterday. She said that she separated her shoulder last night or at Summer. I keep thinking it's Sunday. I'm still trying to get used to these Saturday pay-per-views. This doesn't feel right to me. We had a pay-per-view last night, but it was not SummerSlam. Believe me, Becky Lynch, I'm sure, wanted nothing to do with Ric Flair's last match. So she said that she separated her shoulder, but she worked through 20 of the most painful minutes of her life. She says she gave her best, but her best just wasn't good enough. She says she isn't defined by any title. She defines the title. And she said that she's not defined by any man. I define the man. So she is back to calling herself the man again. I cannot wait for the Ric Flair rant this week. She was living rent-free in Flair's head. If you thought she was living rent-free in his head before, holy shit, wait until he gets a wind of the fact that she's calling herself the man again. He ain't going to be too happy about that. She said now begins the comeback story, and she called Bianca Belair out to the ring. Beowulf, you will give me the periodic check on the likes in the chat. I by the way, I should thank everybody because we have picked up a whole bunch of new subs over the course of this entire weekend. You guys have been subbing to the channel, and we have gotten very close. I think we're under 200 or 150 away from hitting 70,000 subs here on this channel. I don't know that we're going to do it tonight, but we're getting close. One of you may be number 70,000 if you hit that sub button. So thank you for that. So out comes Bianca Belair, and she said that not only does Becky Lynch define the man, but she is the man. And the two of them hugged, and Becky said that she would see her again soon. And she left. Bianca stayed in the ring, and she spoke for a little bit. But after a couple of minutes, all of a sudden, the camera cuts to the back and races over to find Becky Lynch on the ground being assaulted by Bayley, Dakota Kai, and Io Shirai, who is now, her new name now is Io Sky. I may use Io Shirai and Io Sky interchangeably because she is still Io Shirai to me. So they're putting a beat down here on Becky, and they put a chair, her arm in a chair, and they're attacking the injured arm. Bianca guns it to the back to try to make the save and break things up. By the time she gets back there, Bayley and her crew are gone. So that was their way of writing Becky off TV. The crowd, though, was pretty happy to see Becky back as a babyface. They were cheering for her. They had no issue with it, with doing that. Now, WWE tweeted that she is expected to be out for several months, so they did not put an exact number on it, probably because they legitimately don't know how long she's going to be out for. The worst timetable for her would probably be around 90 days. So if it's a bad injury, she could be off television for as much as 3 months. I honestly don't think that's a terrible thing. I'm sure Becky Lynch is upset, you know, that she got hurt. I'm sure Becky Lynch was looking forward to being on that Clash at the Castle card in Cardiff. But her, you got to consider the timing of this here. She gets hurt at SummerSlam the same night that Bayley comes back and they debut Dakota Kai and Io Shirai. How lucky are they? It was very lucky timing that if she was going to get hurt, you now have three new faces that are immediately plugged into the women's title scene or the women's division on Monday Night Raw. And they still have Asuka and they still have Alexa Bliss. Obviously, Bianca is the champion. Rhea is back from her injury. So even with Becky Lynch being gone for 2 months, 3 months, however long it might be, they have already strengthened the division and injected new life into it. She can take her time and come back in a few months. It's not like it's such an injury that she's going to miss the Royal Rumble. She's going to miss WrestleMania. So it's not the worst situation in the world if she has to take some time off and go away for a few months. And maybe it won't be 3 months. You know, if the injury is not that severe, she could be back in 2 months. So I don't foresee Becky Lynch being back for an extended period of time. But they got very lucky. I mean, they got very lucky that they brought back those, brought back Bayley, but brought in Dakota and Io to join her right at the time that they lost one of the biggest star attractions they have in the entire company. I don't think it's going to be too detrimental to them, though. By the way, I saw a report today, and this is not surprising to me in the least. I like the fact that they have put these three women together. You know, Bayley was a star, obviously, before she got hurt. And I think linking Dakota and Io with her is a smart move on their part. This is an idea that was pitched many months ago. The idea for a faction with Bayley, Io Shirai, and Dakota Kai was already pitched a very long time ago. And we learned today from a report, Fightful Select had the report. It was pitched, And Vince McMahon rejected the idea. He had no interest, and we knew this already. We knew that he had no interest in Dakota Kai and Io Shirai because they had dark matches and he didn't call them up. What I didn't know is that this faction was not some new idea that Triple H just came up with this week. It was already something that was conceived of. I don't know if it was conceived by him or someone else, but it was conceived by someone previously, and Vince McMahon nixed it. Well, now Vince is gone, and the first thing Triple H does is he puts Bayley together with Io Shirai and Dakota Kai. I love it. I love it. So that's the story on how this little faction came together. Apparently, the idea was also pitched to do a faction with Raquel Rodriguez and Kaylee Ray linking up with Bayley, and I guess that idea was also rejected. But the fact that we see these three women together now, again, it's just one of those signs that it's a new day. You know, it's a new time here. It's a new era. And these ideas that Vince McMahon may have had no interest in before, it doesn't matter anymore because he's not there. And now they're going to be given a chance to make something of this group. They still haven't come right out and told us what they're calling themselves, but on social media, Bayley, you know, was talking about themselves and they were using the word Control. That could be their name. They might be called Control. But again, we don't know officially what the name is yet. They aired a video package. Aw. Hog Dog in the chat says, "We love you, Solo Monster." Well, I love you too, Hog. And I'm glad to see you here joining us tonight. They had a video package on the history of the United States Championship. And this was narrated by JBL. He was putting over the importance of the U.S. title, and they had highlights and just footage throughout the video of some of the great champions in history, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, they showed Roddy Piper, and then they showed some of the later names to hold the title, like John Cena, they showed Booker T, they showed Ricky Steamboat, Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, so a nice mix of old and new, right on up to Bobby Lashley. And what I really liked about this, between this and the two triple threat matches and then the singles match that we had on the show tonight, there was a greater emphasis on the United States Championship. And this is very important because Roman Reigns was not on Raw tonight. Roman Reigns is rarely on Monday Night Raw. Almost never is Roman Reigns on this show. So ever since they unified the championships at WrestleMania and Roman took the WWE title, Raw has been without a champion because the guy never shows up, right? They never book him to be on the fucking show. When he does show up occasionally, it's usually on Friday night. His cousins are on the show. Paul Heyman will show up occasionally on the show. He wasn't there tonight. He's still, I guess, selling the effects of the F5 that he took at SummerSlam. So it was important to elevate the United States Championship because right now it's the only title that Monday Night Raw has. That's why I thought Bobby Lashley is perfect for that role. Get that title off Austin Theory, put it on Bobby Lashley. So long as Roman Reigns isn't making appearances, Lashley is sort of the gatekeeper now for Monday Night Raw. So it's important to elevate that title, but what you're seeing here, the video package, right? And the matches we saw tonight, already seeing a greater emphasis on secondary titles in this company. We need to continue to see the same thing on Friday with Walter. With the Intercontinental title. They've been doing a pretty good job with him. They need to focus more on those secondary titles and make them feel more important. Tonight is something that I don't believe for a second that we would have seen if Vince McMahon was in the chair and if Vince McMahon had written this show or had the show written for him. So again, another change that was very noticeable on the show tonight, a greater emphasis on those secondary championships. We had our first of two. We had two triple threat matches on this show tonight with the winners meeting later in a singles match to crown a new number one contender for Bobby Lashley's United States title. AJ Styles against The Miz against Mustafa Ali. Miz had his ribs taped up from the frog splash he took from Logan Paul at SummerSlam through the announce desk. They aired a video from earlier in the day with Logan Paul, this is right before the match started, where he said that he wants more, And we're going to be seeing a lot more of him. He's going to be traveling the world. He couldn't tell us where. He couldn't tell us when the next time is that we'll see him in action. But he said that we have not seen the last of Logan Paul, which I think we already knew. They made such a big deal about him signing a full-time contract, so I don't know why this was news. Styles was setting up for his finish, just skipping ahead here. AJ was setting up for the finish. Miz pulled him outside the ring, and Styles ran Miz into the announce desk. He turns around, and Ali, and I don't remember if Ali was on the top rope or if he was on the apron. He might have been on the apron. But Ali leaps from the ring and hits this great tornado DDT to AJ on the floor. Just drove him, just drilled him right into the ground. Ali rolled Miz back inside the ring, and he followed him in, but Miz caught him with a skull-crushing finale as Ali was coming through the ropes to get back into the ring. But Miz was slow to cover because he was favoring the ribs. He was selling the ribs. Finally, he covered Ali, and Ali kicked out. Ali rallied with a super kick and went up top. This was great. This finishing sequence was pristine. I was looking for a word to describe. You can call it clean. I call it pristine. I love the fucking final sequence of this match. Ali comes off the top rope and he hits a 450 splash on the Miz. But when he sticks the move, his momentum is such that it bounces him up into the air and it bounces him right up into the arms of AJ Styles, who's standing right there, right into the position for the Styles Clash. And he delivers a Styles Clash on top of Miz. And he rolls Ali over and he covers Ali and pins him to win the match. That transition was a thing of beauty. And it also brought us one step closer to having AJ Styles. I was hoping against Tommaso Ciampa later in the show, which is what we ended up getting. So this was a good match with a great finish. Great finish. I wouldn't say it was as good as the finish to that match that AJ had with Ricochet a long time ago. I mean, the way he caught Ricochet in the Styles Clash in that match was just fucking perfect. But I thought the final sequence here was just top-notch. So up next was Seth Rollins. Again, they were moving things very briskly along because there were no commercials. So Seth Rollins was out next for a promo. He came down to the ring and he was mocking Matt Riddle from what happened at SummerSlam when he gave him another stomp. He called him stupid. Said that he was celebrating the fact that he wouldn't have to see him tonight after what happened on Saturday. He said, just like his friend Randy, he too can spend some time on the shelf with a career-ending injury. He said, with Riddle out of the picture, now he can turn his attention to Roman Reigns and the undisputed WWE Championship. But before he could say anything else, he was interrupted by the Street Profits. Rollins told the truck to cut their music. He called them losers. He said they've lost so much. They suck so bad. You guys should probably just break up, which is all anybody's been talking about on social media. So now they're playing into it. You guys should just break up. Just end it already. Angelo Dawkins pointed out that Rollins is the guy they beat to win the Raw Tag Team titles, which is true. It's a couple of years ago. It was Rollins and Murphy. And the Street Profits beat them to win the Raw Tag Team titles. Montez Ford said that this is the same man who lost to Cody Rhodes with one booby. So the Profits then played a game of rock, paper, or they were going to play a game of rock, paper, scissors to decide who would wrestle Rollins tonight. They brought a referee out. They did rock, paper, and then before they could do scissors, Montez tossed the mic to Dawkins. He grabbed the ref, and he sprinted down to the ring. And we ended up with Montez Ford one-on-one on this show with Seth Rollins. A fresh match that we haven't seen a gazillion times. Something else I can appreciate about this new era of Raw and hopefully SmackDown. Hopefully it carries over to Friday nights as well. I'm not saying you can never do rematches, but we have seen the same matches so many times over and over and over again that it was nice. I racked my brain. I couldn't remember a time where I saw these two in the ring together. I believe this might have been the first time ever, one-on-one, that these two had a match. This is what we need to see more of. We need more fresh matches instead of the same old shit over and over again. I'm not surprised that Fightful had that report last week that one of the complaints from a lot of people in creative is that Vince McMahon very often would forget. He would forget stuff that he had done previously and do it again, not knowing that he already did it. I'm sure part of that was booking the same matches over and over and over again. That's something we need to see less of. So I appreciate the fact that we got a fresh match here on this show. We actually got multiple fresh matches on this show. Rollins took control for a while. Ford made a comeback and hit a standing blockbuster. And Ford avoided the curb stomp. Rollins hit him with a rolling elbow. Montez came right back with the tornado DDT. And he covered Seth, who got his foot on the bottom rope at the last moment. Ford went up top. He was cut off by Rollins, who gave him a buckle bomb and a falcon arrow for another near fall. Rollins went up top, and the mics picked him up, saying, "Who wants the smoke now, bitch?" And Rollins went for a frog splash. Montez avoided it. Ford went up for a frog splash of his own, but Rollins got the knees up on the way down and then followed up with the curb stomp for the win. And after the match, Rollins was setting up for another stomp. Angelo Dawkins ran out, and Rollins bailed. They gave them 11 minutes. I thought this was a very good match, and talk about rematches, I wouldn't mind seeing them run this back one more time. This was very good stuff from these two. And it just reinforces what I, and I think more and more people, are realizing every week, which is that Montez Ford is the real deal. And Montez Ford has a very bright future ahead of him in the singles division as a single star in this company. No sign of a Street Profits breakup or any kind of animosity or anything between them on this show. You know, we have a draft coming up. If they follow the same schedule that they have been doing in recent years for the draft, it's coming up typically in October. Now, I think October is a terrible time for the draft. You don't do it right before Survivor Series. I think that's dumb. You do it after WrestleMania. You do the draft in April. I don't know if that's going to be something Triple H decides to change. I think he should. But if we assume the draft is coming up in the fall, you know, we've been so hung up on this idea that the Street Profits are going to split. Who's going to turn heel? Is it going to be Dawkins turning on Montez? Is Montez going to turn on him? I don't know that they need to turn on each other. If you have a draft coming up, you could, and you want to explore Montez, for example, as a singles player, you could just draft them to different shows. Now, Montez is going to go wherever Bianca Belair goes. So if Bianca is staying on Raw, that's where Montez Ford would likely stay, and Angelo Dawkins could move to Friday nights. Point is, you can break them up without breaking them up. You can still keep them as friends. It's just that they're no longer a tag team. One's on Raw, one's on SmackDown. If they don't want to turn anybody, that's one way that I could see them going with it. I still believe that Montez Ford should be the one going heel. I would prime him for a heel turn. If it were me, that's the direction I would take him in. So, but no signs of any dissension on this show tonight. So if they're going to do it, they're doing the slow burn. Because look, I still think, I subscribe to the theory. Speaking of theory, I just realized he wasn't even on the show tonight. I never even mentioned him. I don't think there was a single mention of Austin Theory on the entire show tonight. This guy has been all over these shows now for weeks, ever since he won Money in the Bank. And he tried to cash in. He did not. He still has the briefcase, but there was no Theory on the show tonight. But I subscribe to the theory that I think to be a truly great babyface, you first need to be a great heel. I think you need to go through that process first. And so many great heels have gone on to be very popular babyfaces. I mean, think of some of the greatest heels in history. Think of people like, I think of a Roddy Piper or Randy Savage. Or if you want to pick somebody more contemporary, I mean, pick some other name if you want to. But I think that in order to be a great babyface, you need to first be a great heel. One of the reasons why I thought Roman Reigns should have been turned heel a lot sooner, and Vince McMahon just refused. Maybe if that would have happened, he would have been a lot more over than he was. Now, he ended up in a great spot, though. I don't think Roman is complaining. Roman's in the middle of the best run of his life. But that's what I would do with Montez Ford. So then we had Alexa Bliss against Asuka. One-on-one. Bliss delivered some early knee strikes and punches. Asuka avoided a standing moonsault and blasted Bliss with a kick. Asuka caught Alexa with a knee to the head and followed with a missile dropkick. This did not go very long. This went about 2 minutes, in fact, before Bayley and Dakota and Io ran in. They attacked both women. And this ended up being a no contest. I don't know if it was ruled a double DQ or whatever the official ruling was. This was thrown out by the referee. So the heels were beating both of them down. Io went up top. She was about to hit her moonsault with a chair. And before she could do anything, Bianca Belair ran down to make the save. The heels bailed into the crowd. Bianca said, look, I want one of you in a match tonight. I don't care who it is. I want one of you one-on-one on this show tonight. And it was Io who stepped up and pointed at herself and said, you got me. And so that was made for later in the show. Bianca Belair one-on-one with Io Shirai. A match right out of the black and gold. Right out of the black and gold era of NXT on this, the first official Monday Night Raw of the Triple H era. I mean, it seems pretty coincidental that we get that match tonight of all nights. And another match that we have not seen before here on the main roster. We may have seen that in NXT, but we have not seen this match before tonight on Raw or SmackDown. Another one of those fresh matches. That is what you call progress, my friends. That is what you call progress. Matches that we have not seen 1,000 times. We also had Asuka and Io Shirai in the same ring together, but they never touched. There was no interaction between them. So if I can make one request of Triple H, put those two in the ring together and give them 15 minutes. Please and thank you. We got our first commercial break of the night at 9:06 p.m. So they went 66 minutes before they took their first commercial on the show. We got our second triple threat of the night to see who would wrestle AJ Styles later on in the show. It was Dolph Ziggler, Tommaso Ciampa, and Chad Gable. Gable, before the match, told the crowd that he's a winner. He's not a cheater. Unlike those dastardly Houston Astros. No lies detected in what he was saying. Gable and Ciampa, they were working together at first. That did not last very long. Ziggler hit the zigzag on Gable for a near fall, heading into a picture-in-picture break 2 minutes into the match. Later on, there was a cool spot where Ziggler caught Gable with a zigzag at the same time that Gable was giving Ciampa the chaos theory, the rolling German suplex. Ziggler kind of snuck in there and hit a zigzag on the way down. Wasn't cool enough to win the match. Didn't get him the three count, but I thought it looked cool. Later on, Dolph pulled Gable to the floor, and when Ziggler got back up on the apron to head back into the ring, Ciampa came off the ropes, blasted him with this running knee strike, knocked him back down to the floor. Ciampa then blasted Gable with a knee strike to the head, and after that he hit him with the fairy tale ending for the win to advance to the match later on in the night to face AJ Styles one-on-one. Like the earlier triple threat, the work here I thought was really good, and it really hit me during this match, like, wow, this crowd is dead. This crowd did not give a shit. This crowd did not sound like they gave a shit about anything they were seeing here. They were into AJ Styles. They saw AJ as a star, so when AJ was out there in both of his matches tonight, they were chanting and cheering for him. But it was sad, you know, these guys were out there, I thought they were having a good match, and just the crowd was not reciprocating. So up next we had Edge, who was back to his old Alter Bridge theme. We saw Edge make his return at SummerSlam the other night, came out, and cost the Judgment Day their match against the Mysterios. So Edge got in the ring, and I'm waiting now, right, because the last time we saw Edge in the ring with a microphone in his hand, it was all, you people are sheep, right? Just knocking the fans, every insult that you could think of. I guess we're not getting any more of the "you people" promos from him anymore. He admitted that he's been a bit of an asshole the last few months. He said, but that changes now because we're both going to get what we want. Edge said that he started Judgment Day with the idea that he would help underutilized talent realize their full potential. People like Damian Priest, people like Rhea Ripley. He said it felt like they were just getting started and it was going somewhere, but Damian Priest and Rhea, they thought they learned everything that they needed to learn from him. And Edge credited them and Finn Balor for pulling one over on him. He said that's not an easy thing to do. Said that now it was time to kill what he created, and he vowed to end the Judgment Day. And I just wrote here, short and sweet. This is the exact opposite of the types of heel promos that we were getting from Edge, the same promos that were boring me to fucking tears, which is why I didn't really mind when they kicked him out of the group, because it was something that I frankly was waiting to see happen. This was short and sweet. He got right to the point. He didn't overstay his welcome. He had his mission statement. He told us exactly why he's back and what he plans to do, and he left. We didn't see him again until the very end of the show. Backstage, Kevin Patrick was interviewing Rey and Dominic Mysterio, who were booked in the main event tonight for the Tag Team Championships against the Usos. Rey talked about how he and Edge were once the Tag Team Champions and suggested that the Judgment Day has no idea what's coming. And it's true, 20 years ago, Rey Mysterio debuted in WWE 20 years ago last month, or was it June? I think it was July, but it was 20 years ago that he and Edge were involved in that classic match at No Mercy with Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit for the tag team titles. And Angle and Benoit won that match, but then it was in November. It was the month after that Edge and Rey won the tag team titles. It was 20 years ago. And these guys are still going. So he talked about him and Dominic later on. They're going to win the tag team titles in the main event. And that was that. So we cut to Sarah Schreiber, who was in the gorilla position, about to interview Bayley, Io Sky, and Dakota Kai before Io went out for her match with Bianca Belair. Bayley said that everybody is talking about them coming out of SummerSlam, and Dakota said that they know how to play the game. And Bayley said that they will soon be in full control. There's that word again. Control. Sky told Belair that she would see her in the ring, and then Io made her entrance all by herself for the next match, which was Bianca Belair one-on-one against Io Sky. This was Io's first match on the main roster, and it came against the Raw Women's Champion. Not bad for a first night. Io was out with an injury for months. For the people who don't know, it was some kind of a foot injury. I don't know. I don't recall exactly what the injury was, if it was her foot, if it was an ankle, but she was in a walking boot. And the last match before tonight that Io Shirai was involved in was a four-way back at the NXT Stand and Deliver show in April. She has not wrestled a match in over 3 months. And I think that would explain what I saw from her tonight, because she looked rusty. She definitely did not look like herself out there in that match against Bianca tonight. And so I think that's something that people need to keep in mind, the fact that she was hurt. She has been gone for 3 months. This is her first match back. Compound that maybe with, again, nerves being her first match on the main roster. And what you end up with, I think, what I saw here in this match, this was not Io Shirai at her very best. She looked very tentative, especially early in the match. She looked like she was unsure of herself at some points. It looked and sounded like Bianca was the one who was, you know, leading the match and kind of leading her along. So I don't know exactly what the deal was, but she definitely looked off to me. This was not the best Io Shirai match that I have seen out of her. Sky hit an Asai moonsault early on. They cut to a break. This was about 60 seconds into the match. Bianca was in control following the break. Bayley and Dakota Kai walked out, and the distraction allowed Io to bring her down from the top with a Hurricanrana. Io slipped out of a KOD, tried a dive off the apron, but Belair caught her, and she swung Io head first, like a baseball bat, just swung her head first pretty hard, just boom, right into the barricade. Bianca went to go throw Sky back in the ring, but she looked up, and what does she see? She sees Bailey, and she sees Dakota sitting on the apron blocking her path, so she is unable to throw Io back into the ring. That brought Asuka and Alexa Bliss out to even the odds, and they immediately cut to another break. Out of the break, Belair hit a superplex and a standing moonsault for two. She hit a spinebuster, but Io got her knees up on Belair's handspring moonsault attempt. So Bailey trips up Bianca, and Io is distracting the referee, and she tries to cover Bianca with her feet on the ropes. And the idea is that Alexa Bliss would reach up and kind of knock her feet off the ropes, right? Very simple spot. Bliss was late, so her feet got knocked off, but it looked like Bliss did the spot late. Bliss and Asuka jumped into the ring to brawl with Dakota and Bailey, which led to our second no contest finish of the night. Officials ran in. Sean Daivari was out there. Adam Pearce was out there trying to break things up. And we got the usual... No, this is the part I mentioned at the beginning of the stream where we got the usual nauseating camera cuts. I lost track of how many fucking camera cuts we got here during this brawl, this pull-apart brawl.
Fuck Kevin Dunn.
Yes. Can't stand it. Crowd was chanting, let them fight. And finally, the women were separated. Not a fan of having two no contest decisions in the same show. But they could not beat Io Shirai in her first night. Even if it was against Bianca Belair, who is the Raw Women's Champion, there is no planet where it would have made sense for Io Shirai, who is part of this new group, who just debuted, to lose on this show. But Bianca is the champion. Title, non-title, it doesn't matter. She shouldn't be losing either. It's a no-win situation. So I agree with the finish. I didn't like the finish, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't the finish that should have been done because they needed to protect both women in this situation. So even though Io did look a little off to me, and again, anybody who tells you, oh, Io Shirai looked great tonight, they're being nice. Io Shirai looked off in this match. This was not Io at her best. And even still, I think overall they had what ended up being a pretty good match up until the crappy finish. But there was definitely something off with Io tonight. They gave these two, though, almost 20 minutes. I think they gave them 16 or 17 minutes to go out there and work through a pair of commercial breaks. So they gave them a lot of time. And again, that is one of the changes that was very noticeable to me on this show. I have seen WWE shows in recent weeks, especially on SmackDown, especially on Friday nights. And Friday night is an hour less than what Raw is. So on Raw, you would have more time to devote to the in-ring. But there are weeks on Raw even where some matches don't get the amount of time that they really need. That really wasn't an issue on the show tonight. I can dispute some of the finishes they did. But they gave them time. And they gave these women a lot of time too here in this match. But more importantly, we now have new blood here in this women's division, which was sorely needed. Sorely needed for so long. Now we have some new faces, even with Becky Lynch being gone for a while with an injury. They have fresh blood now in this division. And they also worked Asuka and Alexa Bliss into the mix, which I'll tell you one thing, it's a hell of a lot better than what they were doing with them 2 weeks ago when we saw Alexa fighting over the 24/7 ugly green belt. This is a much better position for them to be in. At least they're in the mix with the champion and the new heel faction on the show. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. I don't always do a great job of taking care of my mind. Doing a very poor job of it right now with everything that's been going on. I feel like my mind is mush. But I forget. Yeah, I forget to take care of my mind. And maybe if I took better care of it, I wouldn't forget so much. I mean, how well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one your entire life? That's how our brains work. So why don't we treat them that way? It's important to keep yours healthy. And there are lots of ways to do that. One that I suggest is BetterHelp Online Therapy. I've been a user of BetterHelp in the past, so I speak from experience when I tell you that I found it to be really helpful. And if it helped me, then it can help you too. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and live chat sessions with your own therapist. You don't even have to see anybody on camera if you don't want to. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. In my case, I matched with somebody in the first day, and she was very accessible whenever I had a question. She would even check in on me to make sure that everything was going well and remind me to do certain things that we discuss sometimes. If you're busy with work or family stuff, if you have kids, you've got a lot going on, that little extra reminder can make all the difference. Right now, our listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. That's BetterHelp.com/Solomonster. They introduced Houston's own Booker T, who is already sitting at ringside to do commentary for this next United States Championship number one contenders match between Tommaso Ciampa and AJ Styles. Ciampa countered a Styles clash attempt and hit a series of strikes and a leg lariat for two. He then countered a second Styles clash attempt, but AJ suplexed him into the turnbuckles. Styles went for the phenomenal forearm. This was great. He's on the apron. He's getting ready. He springboards in for the phenomenal forearm. And as AJ is soaring into the ring, Ciampa does the leaping knee strike. And, you know, you got the leg slap, but he timed it perfectly. It looked great. It sounded great. He just blasted this guy in the face with the knee. This wasn't Shawn Michaels super kicking Shelton Benjamin out of midair, but I thought this was a cool spot. So he followed that by flipping AJ up for a powerbomb into the powerbomb position, but he slammed him onto his own knees. That is a move that he calls Project Ciampa. Only got a near fall out of it. Ciampa had Styles on the middle rope. He was all set up for an air raid crash. Styles, though, escaped, and he hit the Styles clash. Ciampa, though, was positioned very close to the ropes. And the Miz was out there, and the Miz reached in and put his foot on the bottom rope, which the referee did not see. AJ left the ring. He went after Miz outside and sent him over the barricade by the timekeeper's area. Ciampa went out and sent Styles over right next to the Miz. So they're both laying in the same area. Ciampa looks up and he realizes, wait, I can win by countout. The referee is counting. I can win and get my title match by countout. So he jumps into the ring. The referee is counting. AJ gets up, and AJ is trying to climb over the barricade to make his way to the ring, but Miz reaches up and holds onto his foot. And AJ is trying to fight him off, and Miz is holding onto his foot. And finally, AJ breaks free. He barely makes it back into the ring in time, but as soon as AJ Styles gets back into the ring, he gets rocked with a knee strike, and Ciampa hits the fairy tale ending for the win. And so, next Monday night on Raw, it is going to be Tommaso Ciampa challenging Bobby Lashley for the United States Championship. AJ Styles was the MVP of the night. He was in two matches tonight. I mean, so is Ciampa. But the first match, I enjoyed the first triple threat. That was the better of the two, I thought, triple threat matches. But I love that finishing sequence in that match with the Styles clash when he pinned Ali. And in this match, too, I thought Styles was, you know, he was on his game here. And, you know, 2 days after not even being in a match, he made a very brief appearance at SummerSlam, wasn't even on the card. I thought AJ was the MVP of the night. But this was a coming out party for Tommaso Ciampa. After spending weeks randomly attacking people, and then they linked him up with The Miz, and for the most part, he's just been standing in the background, even at SummerSlam, right? He was dressed in full gear, but he didn't have a match. He was out there watching The Miz wrestle Logan Paul. Tonight was the first night where Ciampa, for the first time since he got called up to Monday Night Raw, was able to go out there and show what he can do. Not once, not twice. Well, it was twice. I was going to say three times, but he wasn't in the first triple threat. Two different matches on this show, he got to show what he can do. And now he's getting a United States Championship match next week. Triple H is a very big fan of Tommaso Ciampa. He is a very big proponent of his. And I definitely, and I'm sure Ciampa must feel the same way. I feel a lot I feel a lot more optimistic about Tommaso Ciampa's future on this main roster now that Triple H is in charge. Let's put it that way. And I don't know that I would have said that even a few weeks ago. But there is no way that Triple H is going to not give Ciampa every opportunity to succeed and get over on the main roster. Now the ball's in his court. All he has to do is go out there, keep putting on matches like this, right? Promos, we know he could talk. Ciampa was one of the best heels all decade in NXT, if you think about it. Great heels, great heel champions in NXT when he was feuding with Gargano. I mean, that was his best work. We haven't even seen that yet on the main roster. He's a heel just by being associated with The Miz, but he's been in the background. He's been standing behind Miz. Ciampa can stand on his own. We haven't even scratched the surface of what Ciampa can do as a heel on the main roster. So tonight, in many ways, for him was a coming out party. The main event on the show is Rey and Dominic Mysterio challenging the Usos for the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. So the Mysterios made their entrance for the main event at 10:36 to give you a sense of how much time they gave these two teams. Rey ran wild for a little bit, but the Usos cut him off and worked him over through the commercial. After the break, Dominic tagged in, got some offense, and Usos caught him doing a crossbody over the top rope, and they rammed him back first into the ring post. And they took over on Dominic heading into the second and final break of the show, of the match. The second break of the show, no. Now, they got their ad breaks in. They definitely, in those last 2 hours, they made sure they got their ad breaks in. So they were working over Dominic for some time. Finally, Dominic is able to make the hot tag to his father. And in comes Rey, and he runs wild. And both Mysterios hit a double 619. Dominic hits the frog splash to Jimmy Uso and seemingly has the match won. Jay, though, jumps into the ring and breaks up the fall at the very last moment. So he's able to keep their tag team title run alive. Jimmy tried for a superplex on Dominic from the top rope. Dominic knocked him off. He pushed him backwards, and Jimmy fell off. Dominic came jumping off the top of the, not even the buckles. He was standing on top of the ring post because they had the thicker, circular ring post back. Since they didn't use them at SummerSlam because they were going to destroy the fucking ring, they went back to their fancy stuff tonight. So Dominic jumped off the ring post, ended up rolling through, and he did not see. So he got Jimmy in position for a 619. He turned his back, and before he could hit the ropes to begin the 619, he did not see that Jey Uso blind tagged himself in. And when Dominic came off the ropes, he got caught for the 1D. They dropped him, and that was all she wrote for the Mysterios. The Usos retained their tag team titles. After the match, Finn Balor, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley. They come out of the crowd. They storm into the ring. They're beating down Rey Mysterio. They're beating down Dominic Mysterio. Dominic was being assaulted by Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley got her thighs around Dominic's neck and was squeezing the life out of him. I would imagine that, you know, Dominic was, you know, he was selling pain. He was selling pain. But I'll tell you what, you know, hey, if Rhea Ripley is going to pull off a spot like that, I'd rather she do that to me than somebody like, I don't know, take your pick of anybody else on the roster. Bring back, like, you know, Omos or something, you know. I'll let Rhea Ripley do that to me, not Omos. No Omos on the show, too. I'm devastated. I'm just devastated, I tell you. I didn't see Omos on the show tonight. I didn't see the 24/7 Brigade. I mean, what's going on here? I thought that's what Monday Night Raw was all about. It was all about people like Omos, and it was all about the 24/7 stuff, and it was all about all the bullshit that we always have to sit through. What happened to all the bullshit? It's like it magically disappeared. So Balor and Priest and Ripley, they're laying a beatdown on the Mysterios. Here comes Edge. Edge runs down to the ring, gives Balor the, gives Priest the clothesline out of the ring. Gives Balor the execution. sets up for the spear to Finn Balor. Rhea reaches into the ring, shoves Dominic in the line of fire, and Edge wipes out Dominic with a spear. It was a great spear, too. Like, he cut this guy in half. Spears Dominic to the mat. Now, Ray didn't see this. The announcers were talking as if Rey Mysterio didn't see, you know, the fact that Dominic got shoved in the way. Edge left the ring. He chased off Judgment Day into the crowd. And Ray was tending to his son along with some of the trainers as they went off the air. So now it makes me wonder if this is ultimately going to lead to Dominic potentially joining the Judgment Day. Maybe they are going to turn Dominic against his father. Maybe they're going to turn Dominic heel. Maybe he will join the Judgment Day after all. Where is this going to lead? There's going to be dissension, friction now potentially between Edge and Rey Mysterio over what he did to his son. So we'll have to see if they are going to turn Dominic heel. I don't know that that is I don't know that that's such a great idea. If he ends up joining the Judgment Day, I see no reason for them to do that. I don't see how that benefits the Judgment Day at all. I don't see how that's going to ultimately benefit Dominic, because the Judgment Day has not been booked strongly in the least. Ever since they kicked Edge out of the group, this faction has gone nowhere. But based on what they did at the end of the show tonight, they must have some kind of idea for Dominic. They didn't do what they did tonight without there being some kind of a payoff to this story. They're also in Cleveland next week. Raw is going to be in Cleveland, so let the Johnny Gargano rumors begin. Cleveland's own. We'll see what Triple H has up his sleeve next week. That was the show, and it was a show where we saw the same people appear in multiple segments, but they had a few different stories that they told, and they kind of threaded it together throughout the night. And the people that they focused on in these stories were people that you would not normally see there being a focus on here on this show. It was nice. This was not a perfect show by any means. What this show was tonight was a step in the right direction. This was a show that did not make me want to bash my head against the wall, which for Monday Night Raw is an improvement. It was a show that made sense. It was a show where they were you could see the new people that they're going to start pushing and start focusing on. And there could be more surprises yet to come. You know, just because we didn't see certain people appearing tonight doesn't mean they won't be there next week or the week after. We don't know what Triple H has up his sleeve. I said next week they're in Cleveland. Could we see Gargano? Maybe. I don't know. Probably not. Gargano was, I think, on his Twitch talking about how he's going to have to make a decision. It doesn't sound like he's made his mind up yet whether he wants to go back to WWE or if he wants to go to AEW. I think going back to WWE now would be the better decision, but that's his call to make. But this was a definite improvement from a lot of the Monday Night Raw shows that we have had in recent months. And if you are a lapsed fan who tuned in for the first time tonight, I want to hear from you, because I want to know what you thought of the show. I would think that if you watched the show tonight, it was enough to keep you interested to come back at least one more week and see where these stories go. So I can already see the positive changes taking effect. This is something that a lot of people have been asking for a very long time. Give me fresh faces. Stop giving me the same matches over and over again. Call this person up. Call that person up. Give them a chance. We saw signs of that here on this show tonight. This show was a solid effort that has me interested to see where they go next week. Now let's take a look at this Twitter poll. Wow. 74% of you have given Monday Night Raw a thumbs up. I never thought I would see the day again. A 74% thumbs up rating for Monday Night Raw. 19% thumbs in the middle and 6% thumbs down. So you can see where people would be, you know, giving this show high marks because they're excited to see where things are going to go. For the first time in a very long time, there's genuine excitement to see where WWE is going to go in the months ahead. Raw is still a very long show and a very difficult show to sit through because of how long it is. but it was a lot more tolerable watching this show tonight than it typically is. Which really is the ultimate compliment that I could pay to this show. Wrestling. That's right, Beowulf. That's the key word there. Wrestling. We had a lot of that on the show tonight. Bogus Fan, thank you for the $9.99. With Triple H, head of creative now, do you think that we will see a War Games match at Survivor Series? Sorry if that was already asked. Keep up the great work. Well, you must have been listening to the podcast, because that's exactly the idea that I pitched. I don't know if he's going to do it, but I think absolutely War Games Raw versus SmackDown. Book it for Survivor Series. Fire Panda, 007, here to break kayfabe, but I just wanted to say how much fun these streams have been. It's been a blast chilling with you all. As for my crown, I will be back for that very, very soon. Fire Panda was very upset that she did not get the final super chat last night. I told her it's all about the comeback story. People love a good comeback story. Oh, we've got Joshua Edwards. Thank you for the five. Hope to see Montez, Ciampa, and Io main eventing these shows in a year. Especially Ciampa. I think some have forgotten how amazing he is. Well, those people are going to be educated in due time as to how good Tommaso Ciampa can be. And I don't just mean his moves. I don't mean his in-ring work. I mean just as a character on the show. People are only seeing a small part of what he can bring to the table. We are a little over 500 likes so far. Let's get that to at least 6. We can do that. Hit that like button. Let's get up to at least 600 likes. We have a lot more than that in here right now. That should be easy. I mean, that should be fucking easy. Dan Richards, Sky Dome is blocked off for MLB playoffs and major stadium improvements following that. AEW cannot run that building for a year. Coca-Cola Coliseum has 7,700 seats. Yeah, it's a small building. It sucks because they could easily get double that, if not triple that number for their first Canadian show, and they blew it by doing it in October. It didn't even have to be the Sky Dome. You know, even if they did the bigger building, maybe they could have had 15,000 in there or something. Scotiabank. But I think Scotiabank is being used that night. So it's too bad. Hyru, love that Triple H is focusing on the in-ring work and letting the talent shine. I almost shed a tear seeing Kai and Sky. Huh. Just realized that. Kai and Ty. Future is bright. I agree, Hyru. Thank you very much. Jamie Dorsch, better Triple H rival, The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin? The Rock. Easily. Not even close. The Rock. BCOM, see clearly with the pair of $2 super chats. Thanks for watching all of these shows for me. You're welcome. And Zack Sabre Jr. against Sami Zayn. Will that ever happen? No, I don't think it will. We've got Desires with the $1.99. How Tony did not go for Dakota is beyond me. Maybe she didn't want to go. Maybe it was her decision. Don Juan with the $9.99. I'm proud to say that I'm the one who ended Fire Panda's last word super chat undefeated streak in the Ric Flair last match stream. No one will ever take it away from me. Call me Brock Lesnar Jr. Does that mean that you're going to leave the stream and demand more money to come back before the stream is over? Lamar Smith, why does Dominic keep getting bullied by Rhea? He looks like such a chump. We just got done talking about that. I'm not so sure he doesn't like it. Maybe he's the one pitching it. He's like, you know what? I want to help get Rhea over. Let her kick my ass every week. Come up with different ways that she could beat me up. Maybe he's pitching it to the creative team. Maybe it's his idea. Shinakuma, thank you for the two. desires Candice, Sasha, Naomi, Tegan in Wales. Stacked. Bobby's World. It really feels so good to be excited about WWE again. I will miss your Raw rants, but I am sure there will be plenty of other things to rant about. Oh, don't think that there won't be Raw rants in the future. If there's something that pisses me off, believe me, you're going to hear about it. We haven't seen SmackDown yet. Let's not get too cocky just yet. Just because things are improving doesn't mean they're perfect. Christopher Smith with the $9.99. Hello, Solomonster. For the first time all year, I am interested in Raw. EO is always great. Ciampa against Lashley is going to be a physical match. Where do you think Edge against the Judgment Day goes from here? I keep coming back to this idea that Dominic is going to end up going heel. I hope I'm wrong, because I don't have enough faith that he's going to be able to pull it off. And again, I just don't see how him joining that group is going to really benefit anybody. But I kind of feel like that's where this is going. King Bling Blah. WWE goes TV-14 equals 24/7 title becomes the hardcore title. No. The hardcore title was a lot of fun back in the day when Crash Holly had it. And they have just run the idea completely into the ground. The hardcore title and the 24/7 title are one and the same. The belts look different. That's the only difference. It's the same concept. The concept is played out. The concept needs to go away. Maybe in a couple of years they can bring it back. But it needs to just go away. It is so incredibly played out and lame. It's not even entertaining anymore. It just needs to go away. Isaiah says that Styles Clash spot in the triple threat was so smooth. I agree, man. That was a fantastic spot. We've got Eric the Red with the $10 super chat. Booker T kept calling Ciampa a kid. Has he never watched NXT? Is he not aware that Ciampa is the same age as Roman Reigns? Well, he would probably call Roman Reigns a kid. I mean, Booker T is probably 50-ish. Maybe he's probably over 50 by now. So to Booker T, these are all kids. Don't you see? He's older than all of them. So to him, they are all kids. King Bling Blah, will Triple H loosen up on fully scripted promos? I hope so. Until somebody asks him, we don't know, but I would hope so. Mark Kwan, 1976, August 1st warning anniversary of Mr. Anderson's stupid reaction to Tito Ortiz. Shawnee in the Wrestlin' says, hey man, I think you're the GOAT. Wanted to ask you your thought of Punk's comments on WWE after Triple H took over. Your videos and podcasts get me through the day. Well, CM Punk obviously has no love lost for Vince McMahon or Triple H, especially Triple H. He doesn't like them. They don't like him. So I wouldn't expect him to have a lot of glowing things to say about WWE. This is the company that officially fired him on his wedding day. Which, if you believe WWE, it was a total coincidence. It was a clerical oversight, I'm sure. So you can understand why he would just not have very nice things to say about the company. I can't really agree or disagree. He has his opinion on things, and it really is not anything different than what I would have expected him to say. EJ Slemp, random movie question. What is your favorite Johnny Depp movie? And are you a fan of Pirates of the Caribbean? I am binging them right now on Disney+. No, I've only seen parts of the first Pirates movie. I really haven't seen the Pirates movies. And Johnny Depp, I mean, he's not one of my favorite actors, but he was in one of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies, wasn't he? He got killed in one of those movies, so I'll go with that. the movie where he got killed, that's my favorite movie of his. You know, the first time I saw Scream, I thought he was in Scream. And then I realized that's not him. That's Skeet Ulrich. I used to get him and Skeet Ulrich confused because they looked almost identical to me. So for a while there, I insisted that Johnny Depp was in Scream until I realized that it wasn't him. David Hart with the 1999. Didn't get to... Actually, I should... Well, you mentioned movies. That's why I didn't think of this. But I could have said 21 Jump Street. Because when I was much younger, I used to watch 21 Jump Street. He was on that show. But David Hart says, did not get to watch the first hour, but I was pleasantly surprised with the show. My biggest hope going forward is that Triple H can add new life and legitimacy to guys like Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Ricochet. Couldn't have said it better myself. Not just them, but everybody on that roster. Everybody should have some value. Not everybody is going to be a main eventer, but the problem that you're going to have is that some of these people have been hanging around doing nothing for so long. It's hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge to get people to care about some of them, but doesn't mean you shouldn't try. With Triple H in charge, do you think that we'll see more awesome cruiserweight classic and UK tournament? EJ's asking about tournaments. Probably not as far as the main roster. You know, he's going to oversee NXT. So with NXT, we might see more of it. The Cruiserweight Classic is not needed. The Cruiserweight Classic was done to reintroduce the Cruiserweight title, which has since been retired. When Carmelo Hayes beat Roderick Strong, he merged the North American title with the Cruiserweight title, and the Cruiserweight title was retired at that point. There's no need to bring it back. As far as a UK tournament, they've pretty much raided the UK of most of its good talent anyway, so I don't really see what the point of it would be. Rizzo, with you closing in on 70K, I think all of us should be a friend, tell a friend, and get you to 100K by Mania 39. Well, 100K is probably a pipe dream, but 70, we are very close. We are very close to 70, so yes, tell a friend. You have a fan of wrestling that you're friends with, and maybe they listen to podcasts and fill them in and get them to sub, and maybe they'll become fans of the show. Tyrell Young, thank you for the super chats. Tyrell says, hope they bring back King of the Ring and make Starrcade a big deal. Make it the fifth member of the Big Four pay-per-views. I think you know where I'm going. It will never happen because it is not a WWE idea, so it will never be one of the Big Four or the Big Five because they didn't create it. And he says, make the King of the Ring face the champion at Starrcade, damn it. Anti-M Bishop 07. Thank you for the super chat, my friend. Good to see you. Just imagine Hunter screaming War Games with the original WCW cage. NXT can have their version of it. Have mercy. Uncle Jesse from Full House all of a sudden with the have mercy. Anna the Gay Manic Magician with the $2. Solomonster is the hero we need but did not think we deserve. Hey Moe's, thank you for the sub. There is Sasha Banks. Sasha Banks may not have been on Raw tonight, but damn it, she's on to Solomonster. Boots, thank you very much. You are the man as well. Keith Hill, thank you for the $1.99. Rizzo, I don't know if you or anyone in this chat has seen the tweets from WWE and Miz, but I am sensing Miz screwing Ciampa next week. He is being a little too happy for Ciampa. Well, that is interesting. So I'm just going off what Rizzo just told me in that super chat. Hey, Taco Tater. Taco Tater just popped up on my screen. Taco Tater, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the channel. Taco Tater, what a name. What a name. But if what Rizzo said is true, that's very interesting. I mentioned Raw next week is in Cleveland. Might we see The Miz screw Ciampa out of a United States Championship win and be attacking Ciampa when all of a sudden we hear, I'd love to hear Rebel Heart again, but here comes Johnny Gargano to the rescue to save his former DIY tag team partner. Maybe we get that DIY reunion. I would be in favor of putting Gargano and Ciampa together as a tag team for a few reasons. They need tag teams, real solid tag teams on Raw and SmackDown. DIY, when those two are together, they're automatically one of the best tag teams that you have in your entire company. Ciampa and Gargano could go on to have good, fruitful singles runs for themselves, but I think putting them together and having them get over first as a team on the main roster is the smart play. So I actually love that idea, and I'm just mapping it out in my head right now. Miz cost Ciampa the match next. This is actually so great. This is so great now, because if this, and I'm talking it into myself, I'll be disappointed when it doesn't happen. But I don't like this whole Miz and Ciampa alliance. It never made sense to me. It never fit the Tommaso Ciampa character from NXT. Have Miz cost him the match next week, because Bobby Lashley should not be losing the United States Championship right now. But I also don't want to see Lashley go in there and just beat Ciampa clean. So Miz costs Ciampa the match out of jealousy. Gargano comes out, gets this great reaction in his hometown. We get a DIY reunion in the ring. It's perfect. It's the perfect setup. That's exactly how it has to happen. That's exactly how it has to happen. Thank you, Rizzo. Keith Hill with the $1.99. AJ wrestled in the main event on SmackDown. Are you talking about SmackDown last week? I don't know what you're referring to. Robert Fox. Robert. What's going on, Robert? Do you think Ali will be used more with Triple H in charge? Also, hopefully we can get more tag teams so we don't have the same matches over and over again. I think Ali will be used better than he was before, which is to say he wasn't being used at all before. So how could it possibly be worse? I do think that he'll be used more. I think he'll be used better. I don't know about better, but he just needs to get on TV more. He needs more reps on TV. He's too good to be wasted by just sitting in the back and catering. Get him out there. Let him work. Ali is great. First timer, that U.S. title lineage promo was my favorite part. Ken, the man of steel. $5 super chat. If Sasha goes back to WWE, who is your new pick for the first IWGP women's title? Also, did you see DDP sitting behind The Undertaker last night? I did. I had 15 different people mention that to me, and I did see that. I was so focused on Ric Flair, who almost died last night, that I wasn't really paying too much attention to DDP, other than when he did the Diamond Cutter to Matt Cardona, and we heard the old WCW music, the Smells Like Teen Spirit knockoff. As far as the IWGP, look, if Sasha does come back, that kills that dead. If she doesn't, I am all in favor of her being, she doesn't have to be the first, I guess, but I think that her holding that title would be perfect. I'm of the belief that she will be back in WWE, though. And then who holds that title? I mean, it would be one of the Japanese female stars. Which one doesn't really matter to me. They have a lot of very talented females who could hold that title. Plus Ultra Adrian, you didn't know Undertaker was there. Did you? That means you weren't watching the stream last night. How dare you? You weren't joining us last night. We had almost 3,000 people in here last night to hear me talk about Ric Flair's awful final match. And I even put pictures up on the screen of Undertaker. He was right there in the front row with Mick Foley. Bret Hart was there. It was a who's who of talent who was at the show last night. I can only hope that Undertaker watched that match last night and watched Flair, and it just reinforced in his mind that, you know what? I should never come back. If I even think about coming back again, I hope that match was a good reminder of why he needs to stay retired and just enjoy life after after the ring. Brian Cyrus, do you think crowd sounding so dead tonight has to do with them not pumping in crowd noise anymore with Triple H in charge now? Well, I mean, obviously they were not pipe. It was very clear they weren't piping in crowd noise because there was virtually no crowd noise. I don't know if that's going to be a Triple H edict going forward. I hope it is. The only thing worse than having a crowd that isn't making any noise is having very obviously artificial noise pumped in. I would rather have a dead crowd than have that fake bullshit pumped in that's so obviously phony that it just completely takes you out of the match. J-Knight 1984. Raw 3 hours or Nitro 3 hours? Neither. 3 hour Nitros help slowly kill Nitro. You could bury both of those out in the desert. Dr. Scorpio, Logan had 2 matches and he already progressed better than Dominic has. That is kind of sad. Yeah, but Logan Paul, I mean, he's also physically just, you know, he's bigger than Dominic. He's in better shape. I mean, he looks like a wrestler. You know, he's got those physical tools that not everybody has. Matt Gruber says WWE should bring back colored ropes. You want the red, white, and blue back? Tripod. During the Mysterio Judgment Day feud, I hope WWE makes a shirt for Rhea Ripley that says, I'm your mommy. Fire Panda. To Don Juan and the rest of the chat, you may be proud for what you have done to me, but be warned, for when the queen comes for her crown, you will all kneel before me. Super Pony, with Triple H in charge, do you think Kevin Owens gets the push that he deserves? Oh, Kevin Owens will get pushed. I think he'll get pushed. But I mean, he already peaked. It doesn't get any bigger for him than headlining WrestleMania with Stone Cold Steve Austin. So it almost doesn't even matter what he does for the rest of his career. And Sami Zayn even said that that's the conversation that he had with Owens after WrestleMania. He mentioned that at the Broken Skull Sessions. He goes, they were just talking about their matches because Sammy just loved the match with Johnny Knoxville and it got over and he doesn't know that he'll ever top that match. But he said, Kevin's like, dude, it doesn't matter what I do for the rest of my career. Like, I can't go anywhere but down from here. So he'll be pushed. Doesn't mean he's going to be the champion, but he'll be pushed. We've got HBKC83. Who would you have Cody take the WWE title from at WrestleMania? Can Roman Reigns realistically keep it until then? Yeah, of course. I mean, he could, of course. They want to keep it on him, they can keep it on him. It's an awfully long time still between now and WrestleMania, but, you know, in a perfect world, it would be Roman Reigns. Roman would be the one who Cody beats. Drew Johnson says, you are the GOAT. Thank you, Drew. Thank you for the $5 super chat. James Hollins, does a Bray Wyatt WWE return interest you at all? Honestly, no. It really doesn't. Shawnee and the Wrestlin', buy, rent, or sell. Randy Savage matches, Spring Stampede against DDP, WrestleMania 7 against Warrior, or WrestleMania 3 against Steamboat? I would buy on WrestleMania 3, I would rent WrestleMania 7, and I would sell on Spring Stampede. King Bling Blah, does Triple H make a play to get AOP back with Paul Ellering? No. Keith Hill, thank you, sir, for the $3.99. Dr. Scorpio, can't wait for Johnny Entertainment on Raw. Silver Dollar, 1989. Just saw the Tito TNA debut. I cannot stop laughing. Yes, if you have never seen the Tito Ortiz debut segment in TNA, the August 1st warning angle, you definitely need to look that one up. Keith Hill. Yes, here in he's at the arena. He beat Corbin after the show ended. I think he's talking about AJ. First timer, ever seen Clerks or been to the Quick Stop in New Jersey? I've seen Clerks, I have not been to the Quick Stop. And Simi Valley, can you see Triple H bringing Nash Carter back and bringing MSK up to the main roster? Also, can you see Santos Escobar making an impact on the main roster? Santos Escobar, yes, and I believe he is going to get called up soon. He absolutely should be called up. I could see him on SmackDown. In fact, I could see him on SmackDown as early as this Friday. I think that we're going to see Santos Escobar there. MSK, I don't think they're going to bring back Nash Carter anytime soon. So if you're looking for an MSK reunion in the near term, you're not going to get it. And Don Juan says, cry more, Fire of Pandas. Just rubbing salt in the wound, I see. Hey, Rocky Road, what's going on, man? I see you. Bliss fan, yeah, I know Bliss fan wants The Fiend and Alexa to be reunited. To me, that whole angle has played itself out. We do not need The Fiend and Alexa to be back together. You want to bring back Bray Wyatt, that's fine. I don't think that Alexa, it would just be going backwards. You know, so much time has passed since then. I know she's still carrying around the doll. The only reason she's carrying the doll around is to sell more. I don't think they have any real story ideas for it. To me, it would just feel like she came back. It would be one step forward and then two steps right back to what she was doing before with all the gaga and the hocus pocus. And I don't think we need to be going back to that. Drew Johnson, thank you for the five. Says, Fire Panda, I want the queen in my arms. James Holland says, I could see Bray Wyatt leading the Judgment Day. Maybe. Don Juan, let's all laugh at Fire Panda. No. Be nice. Tripod, Don Juan against Fire Panda in a last word on a pole match, bro. Hey, Shaheen, Alatar, thank you for the 20. Shaheen, jumping in, making the hot tag, and dropping a 20 spot here on the stream. So again, if you join late, in the stream, Raw on the whole, it was not a blowaway show, but what you saw tonight on Monday Night Raw was hope for the future in terms of the in-ring product, in terms of them pushing new faces, and there is definitely reason to be optimistic about the future under Triple H going forward, so. For the first time in a while, I actually find myself kind of interested and looking forward to seeing where they go next here on the show. Now, of course, the next challenge is going to be Friday night. What does SmackDown look like? SmackDown has largely been horrendous. SmackDown has been awful for months. Terrible. Abysmal. What changes might Triple H make to SmackDown? That's the next thing we're going to find out on Friday night. I will be here live with you as I am every Friday, right? We're going to be live again on Wednesday for the Dynamite stream. We're going to be live on Friday for SmackDown, probably SmackDown and Rampage. I saw that Rampage just did its worst numbers ever. Didn't even crack 400,000 on TNT for that show last Friday. If you didn't see the clip, I turned the podcast on Sunday. I put the clip up on the channel earlier. There's a problem that Tony Khan and AEW are facing. And I know there's going to be some AEW fans. I already heard from a few. Not too many, but I heard from a few AEW fans who were not very happy about me saying some of the things that I said. But, you know, the truth hurts, and they don't want to hear these things sometimes. But there is an issue there that needs to be addressed, and we are heading into a very important period this fall in terms of TV, where Tony Khan is going to have to try to get those numbers back up. I think that's why he's holding back on MJF. I think he's waiting not just for Punk to come back, but he's waiting for that fall TV season. So, like October, like around then, that's when you're going to see, maybe in Canada, maybe when they make their Canadian debut, that's around the time that you're going to see MJF pop back up on TV. But they're heading into a year coming up where they're going to be renegotiating their TV rights. And it's very important that they make sure those numbers don't drop, you know, any more than they have for Rampage and for Dynamite to try to pick things up, because they're in this period right now where things have cooled off. You know, how are they going to respond to that? It's very important. There are some AEW fans who just don't want, they put their fingers in their ear and they don't want to hear any of this stuff. They just sort of ignore reality. We got Ken, the Man of Steel. Ali and Ricochet together as a new team against the Usos. James Hollins, Usos against the Fiend and the Demon. Any takers? I have no interest in that whatsoever. Plus Ultra Adrian, had Vince retired sooner, we would still have Hit Row. It is amazing to think about some of the acts that failed through no fault of their own, who might have had a chance if Vince was gone sooner. But people like Malakai Black and Killer Cross, I mean, we would at least still have some of them in WWE. Some of them would still be there. Fire Panda said, believe me, Don and the rest of the traitors in the chat will be the ones crying when I am done. Cutting promos now. Dr. Scorpio, the last few streams ending, I accidentally started something I should not have, but it wasn't my fault. It's all good. It's all good. Shawnee, besides MJF, is there someone on the AEW roster that you would like to see win the AEW title from Punk or Moxley? I would like to see Kyle O'Reilly with the title soon. Yeah, for me, it would be Malakai Black. Tripod, with all the talk about who will get pushed now, who do you see getting moved down the card? I don't see, some people think Theory is going to be pushed down the card. I don't think he will be. I feel like Triple H is a fan of his, because Theory was featured pretty prominently under Triple H in NXT. Although he was more of a goofball down there, he's been more serious on the main roster. I don't know about someone being demoted, you know, down the card who was being featured in a prominent way. I would think Triple H, it's not going to be so much about demoting people. I think it's going to be more wanting to push people who were not being pushed, you know, in a way where they should have been. Becky Lynch is going to be going away for a few months, so we're not going to see her. I'm trying to think of the key names on Monday Night Raw who were being pushed. I don't see any of them really being demoted. I think you want to promote them, but also just promote some new people as well. Connecting people through wrestling. That might be the nicest super chat name that I have ever seen. Connecting people through wrestling says, just checking in. Thanks for connecting the community. You are very welcome. That is a very nice name. Near, I think I can finally say that Better Call Saul is better than Breaking Bad. Wow. You know, as somebody who has been keeping up with Better Call Saul, I tell you what, I think right there with you. It's an incredible show. It is an incredible show, and I just can't understand. There's so many Breaking Bad fans who just didn't give the show a chance. They don't watch it. They don't follow it. You're missing out. I mean, you really are, especially if you watch Breaking Bad, but you don't watch Better Call Saul. I don't know what the hell you're waiting for. I mean, you are really missing out. Drew Johnson, I am not reading that, but thank you for the $2. Let's be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Oh, we got Sasha Banks on our screen here. We might be seeing her back on our television screens in these next few weeks. We are up over 620 likes. Let's shoot for 650. Want to put a smile on my face? Let's at least hit 650 here tonight. All right, so why don't we kick things off here with the men's Be the Booker. We take this thing for a random spin, for those who don't know. We just try to book a few random matches and see what combinations we come up with. And we've had some very interesting combinations. Very interesting combinations. We begin here with the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. Judging from that photo, that is Prime HBK from 1996. Shawn Michaels is someone who, the old expression is that he can wrestle a broom and have a good match. So I think no matter who this lands on, I think we are going to have a winner here. Shawn Michaels one-on-one with Diamond Dallas Page. There's a match. People weren't talking about that during the invasion. Although I guess Shawn was still retired, though, so nobody was really talking about Shawn Michaels having any match. Shawn Michaels and DDP, both in their physical prime, I think that would have been a hell of a match. Head on over to the ladies' side. And we begin with, poor Toni Storm. Two pies to the face. Pie face Toni Storm. This is what, by the way, all this talk about change in WWE and how different things might be now under Triple H than Vince McMahon. Imagine if Triple H had taken over around the time that Toni Storm was called up to the main roster. We would not have gotten this image on our screen. Toni Storm would still be in WWE. She would still be on the main roster. I am a firm believer in that. Let's see who old Pie Face here is going to be stepping into the ring with. Oh, jeez. You know, I wish I didn't see this, but there was a few Nia Jax tweets that popped up on my timeline. Somebody sent something to me. I guess she was answering a question about, do you sleep in the buff at night? And she was like, isn't that what everybody does? And it became like a news story on some of these wrestling news websites that Nia Jax sleeps naked when she goes to bed at night. Now I have to see this image on my screen of my hole. Pie Face Toni Storm against Nia Jax's hole. We have a new low for Women's Be the Booker. We have topped ourselves. That is the worst match that I have ever booked. I need a palate cleanse with the tag teams. We begin with the two-man power trip. Triple H and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Dominant for all of 2 months. They're going to be taking on Jericho. Jericho is a damn good team. I will put them over all the time. Jericho, they became a very good tag team. And you put those guys in the ring with Austin and Triple H, that'd be a hell of a match. I like that match. I don't know why that was the Amish phase for the Big Show, where he looked like a giant Amish man. But I like that. I like that match a lot, actually. That's right. That is some star power in that match. James Holland says if Gargano returns, the first interaction with Theory should be interesting. I'm telling you, that's the way to go. They're in Gargano's hometown next week. If Miz really is, and I'm just going by what Rizzo said in that super chat, but if Miz really is hamming it up and acting a little too over the top as far as how happy he is for Ciampa, maybe he's jealous that he's getting a championship match and he feels he should be getting one. He turns on Ciampa, costs him the match, so Ciampa then doesn't really lose anything by losing to Lashley. And out comes Gargano and we get DIY. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's exactly the way that I would book it. Bliss fan in the chat says, Theory's uncle died. That's why he wasn't on TV. I saw. I don't know where you saw that, but that's the first I'm hearing of it. If that's the case, that is, I'm sorry to hear that. But that would explain why he wasn't on TV tonight, if that is true. Dr. Scorpio says, thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that. Gonna have nightmares. Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Hey, Hashway just dropped a 50 spot. That came out of nowhere. Thank you, Hashway. Sorry I have not been active as of as much, but you know the time difference is the issue. But I always watch the reviews the next day and enjoy your week. Hashway, that's very nice of you. I appreciate that. I do know that you're in a very different time zone than me. I think it's very early where he is, so thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Bobby's World, I will pop big if Gargano shows up next week. I think that's the time to do it. You want to get the best possible reaction. There's no better place for him than Cleveland. His boy's getting a championship match if he gets screwed over. Play that music. It'd be a sin, though, if he does come back and they can't use Rebel Heart for some reason. I don't know if there's a rights issue. I noticed the other day it's off of Spotify and Apple Music. They pulled it. It's not there anymore. So I don't know if they're just pulling music for people who are no longer under contract or if there's some kind of issue with CFOs or I'm not sure, but you got to hit that Rebel Heart. And out he comes. Shinakuma just spotted Kenny Dykstra as an agent during the Bianca EO pull apart. I heard that he's been getting high marks too, that apparently he's very well. His work is very well received and highly regarded, and apparently he's doing well in the role. Duat in the chat, I'm aware of the issues with CFO. That does not mean that they don't have the rights, though, necessarily to use their music, just because they broke up. That doesn't mean anything. They pulled it from YouTube Music as well. Okay, well. So maybe it is a rights issue. We'll see. I guess if he does come back, if he has new music, then we'll know. That sucks. If that's the case, that sucks. Kenny Dykstra was another one. Everyone was talking about how this kid, he's so young back then, and it's a can't-miss prospect, and then he didn't go anywhere. A lot of those Spirit Squad guys, you know, Dolph Ziggler ended up okay, but a lot of those guys, when DX packed him back up in a box and shipped him back to Ohio Valley Wrestling, that was the end for some of them. They never really recovered from that. Turtlehead, being able to rehearse matches for weeks made NXT better. Do you think Triple H should encourage that since house shows are not as frequent? No, I think that's up to the talent. I wouldn't require them to do it. You know, some talent might be more comfortable rehearsing spots. It's not something I would encourage. I think we hear from these legends all the time about what a lost art it is to call a match in the ring. We'll just call it on the fly. We'll call it in the ring. I think there's something that can be said for being able to call shit on the fly and improvise on the microphone. I feel like things have been so scripted out and so regimented for so long. You have this whole generation of talent now coming up through the WWE system who would probably be like a fish out of water if you just said to them, hey, just go do this. We'll throw you out there on live TV, you know, go have a match without planning everything out. Or, all right, we'll give you a couple of bullet points and then you fill in the rest of the promo. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I hated when things got so overly scripted, because first of all, it sounded terrible. It sounds like shit. If you, there are people who can deliver a scripted promo and make it sound human, but not everybody can do that. And it's very obvious when somebody is just trying to memorize their lines. And I think that lack of improvisation is one of the things that I miss, that's missing from wrestling. I think it's honestly a quality and a skill that a lot of these people, a lot of these men and women probably don't have because they never learned it. You know, that's not how the main roster has worked now for a very long time. I think it's probably a lost art for a lot of people. Drew Johnson, Stephanie McMahon has, Drew is drunk. He is drunk. Juan Ocampo, what would constitute the buzz with laughter on Be the Booker? Well, I'm not going to spoil it for you. One day I'll land on it and you'll see. I don't want to give it away. Yeah, the John Cena, Mickey James drama, that probably, more than anything, that's probably what did Kenny Dykstra in. You get on John Cena's bad side back then, you got to read JTG's first book. If Cena didn't like you, or there was something, you know, he felt threatened or something by you, Cena could be ruthless to some people on that roster. All right, so that's your Monday Night Raw review. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me on an... usually, it's an off night here. Usually, don't go live after Raw, but I felt like tonight was the beginning of a new era for Monday Night Raw. And there were a lot of rumors going around about the show. It ended up being a pretty solid show. No real major surprises or comebacks or debuts or anything like that. But Raw is finally headed in the right direction. I can honestly say it feels like Raw is heading in the right direction for the first time in a very long time. And that doesn't mean there aren't things that I won't rant about in the future, but it's nice to actually have a positive outlook on this show. Now we'll see what they do with SmackDown on Friday night. There's been a ton of content on the channel, so if you missed any of it, if you missed SummerSlam, we're about to hit 50,000 views on our SummerSlam review. That's up. The Ric Flair last match review. That's going to probably break 30,000 in the next couple of days, which surprised me. I actually wasn't expecting it to do that well. But I think also part of it was just people were morbidly curious about that main event. So that whole review, which was a fun one to do last night, that's up as well. And a lot of more content, lots more content coming to the channel. And, of course, you can check out episode 767 from this past Sunday on all the usual audio platforms. Please go vote in the Twitter poll, at SolemnMonster. Overwhelmingly positive score right now from Monday Night Raw. Almost 75% thumbs up. That has not happened in a very long time. Don Juan says, what happened between Kenny, Cena, and Mickey James? Drama. That's what happened. It's not hard to find the story online. You can get all the sordid details there. Rizzo with the five. For as good of a guy as Cena is, he has allegedly been awful to Dykstra and Riley, and I believe Ryback. Yeah, the issue with Alex Riley, I've talked about that years ago. I talked about that. Then, of course, I had my little issue with Alex Riley. That was an interesting time for the sound off. All right, have yourselves a good night. And sub to the channel. We are very close to 70K. I thank you again, and I will see you live Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite right back here for more of the Solemn Monster Sounds Off on YouTube. Take care, guys.